Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Tzadik Tes, and we are four lines from the bottom of daf Tzadik Tes on the base. Once again, today's daf is being learnt as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Rav HaGoyin, Refol Shmu Yaakov ben Yehuda Sivya, Baruch Hashem, the Matzev continues to get better. So again, today's daf should be a Schus Refuah Shleima. So the top of daf Tzadik Tes on the base, the Mishnah discussed somebody that took upon himself to build a house on behalf of somebody else. He's a contractor. But they didn't discuss what the dimensions of the house were going to be. Says the Mishnah, depending on what he's supposed to build, that would determine what the minimum shear has to be. If it's a base chasnus libnoi, or a base almanus libitoi, that it has to be at the very least 4 amos by 6 amos. If it's a refes bakar, it has to be at the very least 4 amos by 6 amos. If it's a bayis katan, 6 by 8. A bayis gadol, 8 by 10. A traklin, the Gemara defined what a traklin is, 10 by 10. The Gemara brought a brisa that discussed a kanter, that was a garden that the sarim used to have on the side of their house, that had to be 12 by 12. What about the height of all these aforementioned structures? Says the Mishnah, there's a formula that the contractor should follow. Rumoy, its height, is kechatzi arkoi, or kechatzi rochboi. It's the sum of half its length plus half its width. So you take the length and the width, you add it together, you divide it by 2. That's what the height has to be. And the Mishnah said, Raya ledavar kibinyan ahechol. That's what the dimensions of the heichel were like. The heichel was 40 amos long by 20 amos wide. 40 plus 20 is 60. Its height was 30 amos tall. Thus, you see that its height represented half of the sum of its length and width. That is the formula that the contractor should follow, even if he's not building the heichel. He's building a bayis, even a bayis katan, it doesn't matter. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Says the Gemara, on the note of the height of the heichel, we digress for an entire Amid Gemara of Divrei Agada. Rav Chanina, nothing curious. Rav Chanina once went out to the villages. So the landsman came over to him and they asked him the following stira ksiv. The pasuk says, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasik Beis, the Habayis Asher Bana Melech Shleim El Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash that Shleim Melech built, Bayis Rishon, Shishim Amma Arka, it was 60 Amas long, the Esrim Arka, it was 20 Amas wide, Ushleishim Amma Kemasik, it was 30 Amas tall. The Ksiv, what was the Stira? That if you fast forward 18 Psukim later, same Perik Vav, Pasik Chav, there the Pasik says, Velefnei Hadvir Esrim Amma, it's referring to the Kodesh HaKidoshim, and it says that it was 20 amas oirech long, the esrim amas roichiv, 20 amas wide, the esrim amas kemasai, and only 20 amas tall. And the question they asked them was that if the Beis HaMikdash, the Habayis Asher Bona HaMelech Shleimai, was 30 amas kemasai, 30 amas tall, then how's it possible that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was part of the Habayis Asher Bona HaMelech Shleimai, it was part of the Beis HaMikdash, was only 20 amas tall? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was attached. It was part of the same structure. So if the bayis is 30 amas tall, how is it possible that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is a part of the bayis, is only 20 amas tall? That was the question they asked Rav Chanina. Amalus Rav Chanina answered, the pasuk that says that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amas is not describing the entire height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The entire height was the same as the entire height of the Habayis Asher Bona Melech Shleim. It was 30 amas. So what does it mean when it says 20 amas? From the top of the kruvim to the roof, there were 20 amas. In other words, the kruvim themselves, which of course were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, were 10 amas tall. From the top of the kruvim until the roof, back to the envelope arithmetic, were another 20 amas. So the pasuk is not describing the entire height, it's just describing the gap between the top of the kruvim and the roof. Freak the Gemara, Maika Mashmalon. Why in the world would the pasuk do that? There must be some message. Says the Gemara, yeah, Haka Mashmalon, Lemato Kilamailo. That the space beneath the top of the kruvim, meaning the 10 amas where the kruvim were the same as the 20 amas where there were no kruvim. How so? Ma'la ma'la imash amash klum. Just like from the top of the kruvim until the roof, there was nothing there. All it was ear space. Aflamata imash amash klum. So too, where the kruvim were, didn't take up any airspace. What does that mean? Makes no sense. If the Kruvim were there, then it obviously did take up space. We have a Messiah. Mokim, Orim, Ukruvim, Inim, and Amida. The Orim, the Kruvim did not take up any space, even though they were there. And even though ordinarily, if you have something physical, it does take up space. That's basic physics. But the Aron and the Kruvim defied physics, and they did not take up any space. Tanya Nami Yochi Bryson says the same thing. Aron Shas and Moshe, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Yesh Loi Revach Eser Amos L'chol Ruach Ruach. The sides of the Aron, meaning if you go from one side of the Aron to the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then from the other side of the Aron to the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were 10 Amos in each side. It's a problem because if the width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 Amos, and the Aron itself took up space, what was the space of the Aron? I'm assigning the Chetzi Arkoi, and the Aron lied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim along its length. It wasn't along its width, which was Amma V'Chetzi. It was along its length, which was Amasayim V'Chetzi. So if you have an area that's 20 Amas, Amasayim V'Chetzi is Aron, how many Amas do you have left? 17 and a half Amas. So you take 17 and a half Amas, divide it by two, that's how much space you would have on the two respective sides of the Aron. Yet the Braisa says that there were 10 Amas to each side, which implies that the Aron itself was Einam and Amida. It didn't take up any space. So Rab Levi, some say Rab Yochanan said that we have the Mesoira, Makam Aron, Ukruvim, Einam and Amida. It's a Braisa that says that the Aron, Sha'asa Moshe, Yesh Lei Revach, Eser Amis, L'cho Ruach, V'Ruach, which implies, again, that it was Einam and Amida. And here you have this idea. That's how Rab Chanina answered the Stiris HaPsukim. You know why the Pasuk describes the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim as being 20 Amos, when in fact it was really 3 Amos? What we're trying to say is that just like we know that for 20 Amos of its height, there was nothing that was taking up any space, because the top 20 Amos were b'metzias, vacant, so too the 10 Amos, where technically would seem like there was something there, was really vacant. The Kruvim stood b'nesh. The Chomish Amos Knaf HaKruv HaAchas. The Chomish Amos Knaf HaKruv HaShenis. Eser amos miktzois knafav va'ad kitzois knafav. Each kruv was 5 amos wide. Each kruv of the 2 kruvim had 2 wings, meaning there were 4 wings in total. If each one took up 5 amos, that means together the kruvim, the wings, took up 20 amos. The question is, gufayu hechavi kaimu, where then were the actual birds? Where were the actual kruvim? If the wings took up the entire space, where would Elish Mamid Abanes Hayoim them? So this is another ride that they must have been Benes. So we're trying to bring up another ride. But the Gemara says, on this, I have not one kasha, not 2 kashas, I have 6 kashas. And the Gedoyle Amayram, these were the biggest names amongst Amayram, they all asked kashas on this raya, this additional raya, that the Kruvim were Benes Hayoim, the mask of Abaya. Start with Abaya. Maybe the way the Kruvim were like Tarnagolim. So when a Tarnagol spreads its wings, so the goof of the Tarnagol doesn't take up any space. It's inside of where the wings are. So all you have is the wingspan, and maybe that's why he was able to take up 20 amas. He didn't need any extra space for the goof. Mask of Rava. Rava also asked the kasha. V'dulma zeshaloi kineged zeh havakaimi. Who said that they were in such a neat area? Maybe they overlapped a little bit. So the goof did take up space, and it's true, each kruv was 5 amas, and each one of the kruvim had 2 kruvim. A little confusing. So that there's 4 times 5 is 20, but maybe they overlapped a little bit. Maskefler of Achav Yaakov. Achav Yaakov also asked the kasha. V'dulma b'achsuna havikaimi. Look at the picture. Maybe they were on a diagonal. So it's true the width was 20 amis, but if you cheshbin the diagonal, it's going to be more than 20 amis. Maybe that's how it was able to be. Maskefler of Unabrid Rav Yeshua. V'dulma b'esa miloi ravach. Maybe the 20 amis that's described as being the width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe that was on its floor. But maybe as you ascended higher, maybe the structure widened a little bit, so that at its roof, it was really wider than 20 amas. Again, it's not a rai, b'nes avikaimi. Maskif l'ra popper. Popper also asked the kasha. V'dilma mekav havi kaifi. Who said the wings spread completely? Maybe they weren't completely spread. Maskif l'ravashi. Ravashi also asked the kasha. V'dilma shlachufi havi mishalchi. Maybe they were actually crossing their wings, like a person crosses his arms. Maybe that's the way it was. Either way, says the Gemara, although it's true, we have a Mesoira, and we proved it from Psukim in Sefer Melachim, and it was even a Braisa, the Makam Aaron, Edom and Amida, and there was some big nest that was taking place where the Aaron, the Kruvim, defied basic laws of physics. But you can't bring a raya from the Chomish Amis Knafa Kruva Achas, the Chomish Achas Kruva Shenis, even though at first glance it would seem to be a raya. All that may run, we're opposed to it. Six reasons why it's not necessarily a raya. So on the topic of the Kruvim, says the Barkets of Hayoim Din, how did the Kruvim stand? Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Lozov, Chadamah, one said, Pnei Mishalach, they were facing each other. The Chadamah, the other said, Pnei Mishalach. No, they were facing in opposite directions. They were facing the walls. L'manda Amar Pnei Mishalach, according to Manda that says they were facing each other, meaning they were both facing it on Psukim. There's a Pasuk that says Pnei Mishalach, and there's a Pasuk that says Pnei Mishalach. So the Manda that says Pnei Mishalach, how did he understand the Pasuk that says Pnei Mishalach? When the Yidden were Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, it was Pnei Mishalach. When the Yidden were not Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, then it was Pneim Le Bayis. Ulamanda Amar Upneim Le Bayis. The mandam that holds Upneim Le Bayis, Haksiv, doesn't it say Upneim Mishalachiv? The obvious question is, why can't we just answer it in the same exact way? So Pshat is Pashit. Because if Pneim, if the Pashup Shat is Pnei Mishalachiv, so then you could say that the Torah is describing the perfect state or the status quo, the default state of the Kruvim as being Pnei Mishalachiv, because the default state would be the way it would be Bizman Sha'isim Rasayim Shalmachim. What happens if Chalila V'chas there ain't Oisim Rasayim Shalmachim? Okay, Pnei Abayis. But according to the Mandama that said that the Iker Matziv was Pnei Malabayis, so you're going to tell me that the Agdara is the same Agdara that when there ain't Oisim Rasayim Shalmachim, then it's Pnei Malabayis. Why then would that be the default state, Chalila? Why would that be the way we want it to be? Says the Gemara, you have to say a different teretz. The Mitzadet Diat Studi, he's going to hold that it's true, it was Pnei Mel Abayis, but it wasn't Mamish Pnei Mel Abayis. They were a little bit to the side. So it was a little bit Pnei Mel Abayis. It was also a little bit Pnei Mishalach. The Tanya learned it a Braisa. Unkelis Hager, Amai, you don't see Unkelis Hager that often in a Braisa. Kruvin Maisa Tzatzuenheim. They looked like children. Umitzudodim Pneim, and their faces weren't facing each other. But at the same time, they also weren't facing the opposite direction, but rather they were Kitalmud HaNiftah MiRabbi. So a Talmud that goes away from his Rebbe, so he turns around to leave, but at the same time, out of respect, he still looks at his Rebbe as he's leaving. So this is Mitzudodim, Mitzadudi, Atzudi. So you sort of get the point of what it was, and that's how that Manda Amar is going to reconcile the Stiras. Either the Teretz to the Stira of were the Pnei facing each other, were they facing opposite directions, is Kam Bizman She Yisrael Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, Kam Bizman She Ein Oysen Ritzayin Shalmakim, or the Teretz is, they're both true. It was Pnei Mishalachiv, it was also Pnei Malabayis, it was Mitzadati Atzudi, they were a little bit facing each other, they were also a little bit facing an opposite direction. Either way, on this Gemara, there's a lot of Divrei Agada that's very Yisoidi. We'll just speak out two Ha'aras, two bigger ha'aras. The first is the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Shua Abba, actually spoke about this chazal. Not so long ago. And he said over a beautiful chasam sofer in the drasha. Chasam sofer is also mentioned as Chidushim al Hashas, Mesech des Gittin, Daf Mun Zayin Amar Aleph, but it comes really from the drasha's chasam sofer. If you have the new drasha's chasam sofer, it's Chelik Dalid, Drush Yud Dalid. So this was a drasha that the Chasam Sofer said on Shabbos HaGadol. Interestingly, the Chasam Sofer was discussing a pasuk in last week's parasha. Ki savoyu al eretz Kanan, asher ani noisin lochem lachuza, venosati neged tzaras, bebeis eretz achuzaschem. And he quotes Chazal. Chazal say, ubash alei abayis, we're talking about someone who has a house that now became a mitzayra. Says the Gemara, yuma yodalef amit beis. Uba asher loy habayis, he's the person that has the nega, misha miyachay beisoy loy. You know who had a house that became a mitzayra? That was someone who kept the house for himself. Asher loy habayis, he was selfish. It's my house, and nobody's going to have any anah from my house. Misha miyachid beisoy loy. But somebody that was willing to share his bias, that person didn't have to worry about negat saras. So the Chasam Sofer goes off on a tangent, and he talks about opening up your house for aniyim. And he says that, you know, sometimes it's very difficult, because, number one, people don't always have the space in their house. People maybe are struggling with parnasa, so they can't afford to bring people into their house. Says people have tzorchei bayis, it's a tumultzach in the shtub a little bit. You bring somebody in, it's an inconvenience for the entire house. So says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to give you a little bit of a musar shmuz right now. And I want you to know that be'emes hakol mipitu yetzahara. This is all coming from the yetzahara. Ki b'mokim kedusha ein kan doichek. There's no such thing as there's no room in the house when we're dealing with Mokim Kedusha. And he brings it out in a beautiful way. He says that we find the Gemara Masechtas Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. That's in the sugyas of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And the Gemara over there is describing that there was a city, it was called Haramelech. It was destroyed B'Shas HaChorben. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mervasi, Shishim Ribay Ayoris Hoyle Yana Melech Behar HaMelech. Yana HaMelech had 600,000 cities in Har HaMelech. V'cholachas v'achas Hoyu Baki Yaitzim Mitzrayim. Every one of these cities had in it 600,000 people. Chutz Mishalosh, except for three. Shehoyu Ben Kiflayim Ki Yaitzim Mitzrayim. That had two times the amount of Yedin as what left Mitzrayim. Eluhen Kfar Bish, Kfar Shechlayim, and Kfar Dechraya. Says the Gemara, Omarula, I'm fast forwarding, the Didi Chazag Dahu Asra. You should know, I once saw this Har HaMelech. V'afilu shitin ribvasa koni loy machzik. It was so small that you couldn't even put 600,000 reeds there. And here, the Gemara says, Ravasi said, there were 600,000 cities, and each city had 600,000 people there. I'm telling you, it wasn't Shaykh. Says the Chassam Sofer, so what's Pshat? What, Ravasi had it wrong? Is that what Ula was trying to with the basis? Said the Chassam Sofer, the Pshat is because Eretz Yisrael, Bizman, that it was Bikdushasa, Bizman, that the Yidden were living there when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Bines HaYoimed, and there was a Mu'at HaMachzik HaSamarubo. So it's true, Ula saw it hundreds of years later. He saw it after the Churban. He said, after the Churban, you can't even stick 600,000 Konim there. But at the time that there was a Beis HaMikdash, it was Bines HaYoimed. And if it was Bines HaYoimed, there was no Teichik. And if there was no Teichik, you were able to have 600,000 cities. Zoktach Sam Sofer. But the truth is, the more Kaddish you get, the closer you get to the Shechina, the closer you get to the Kedusha, the more this miracle becomes manifest. He says, Yerushalayim, it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Hei, Loi Omar Odem Eyolim Tzar Li Amokim. Imagine all the Jews that are going up to the Eyol Regel three times a year. Can you imagine what kind of shtipping was taking place over there? People are pushing and the traffic, it must have been out of control. Yet, it's a Mishnah. One of the miracles that took place in the Makam HaMikdash Yerushalayim was a person never said that I'm inconvenient. That's even a bigger miracle, perhaps, than what you find in that Gemara. Because in Yerushalayim, you're getting closer to the Shechina. Says in the Azara, we find it even more manifest. Chazal say, Oimdim Tzfufin U'meshtachvin Ruvachin. That's really an unbelievable miracle. And he says, there's another Chazal, Breshis Rabbah, Hey Vav, that in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, the Yidden traveled with the Arim, and they were able to stand, all of Klal Yisrael, between the two Badei Arim. That's a real Mu'at HaMachzik HaSamarubah. So you have that in Har HaMelech, which was in Eretz Yisrael, a place that wasn't Machzik 600,000 Konim, now was able to be Machzik all these cities with all these different people. You have in Yerushalayim, Loi Omar Odom Eyolam Tzar Li Amokim. You have the Azor, Oimdim Tzfufim Mishtach Vin Ravachim. But when it came to the Arim, all Klal Yisrael were able to stand even between two Badei Arim. He says, because the closer you get to the Shechina, the more Kaddish it is, the more you're in a minamida. Dover zem mesoris piyodeinu, mokim ha'orin, in a minamida. Then the Chassam Sofer continues. And he says that this isn't only true when it comes to space, comes to physical space. This is true when it comes to any dover shal kedusha. It defies science. It defies the laws of nature. You find that when they used to give the Matnas Kahuna in the Beis HaMikdash, the Lechem HaPonim, Chazal say, Yuma Lamates Amad Aleph, Kol Koyin Sheigia Kapul, a koyin that would get a pull, a very, very small share. Hoyoichel Vaseveya, he would eat and he would become full. Ki Birchas Hashem Nishtalech B'machol Mahemo. Even though Al Pi Derech HaTev, it's not the way it's supposed to be. If somebody eats very little, so he should be satisfied very little. How's it possible that if you eat a pull, the teretz is, we're defying logic. So this is a Shabbos HaGadol's Rosh. He says that this is Pshat, Holach Ma'anyo, the Acholu Avasono. He says, we're standing now, we're besimcha, we're at the Seder table, it's a bechina of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, we're sitting now in a Greisa Madrega. So we take the Lechem Moini, the Matzah, which is the poor man's bread, which is something that really shouldn't make you very full, it shouldn't satisfy you, and we say that now, Bizman Cheruseinu, when we're sitting like Malachim, we're going to eat matzah? It doesn't make any sense. If you're eating like a melech, then shouldn't you eat in a way that's going to fill you up? The teretz is that right now, we're in a matziv that we're more tamachzik samarubo. So we can eat lechem oini and we can be satisfied. Because we're operating now lemailam and ateva. That is the spirit of the Leila Seder. He says, that's why we continue. Kol dich ven yesev yechol. Kol dichuch yesev yivsach. He says, really? What would be if everybody, the whole neighborhood would say, Vaislechmos, 1 year I'm going to show it. Kol dich ven yesev yechol. We're all here. Vayuvay. Everybody walks in at the same time. Where's everybody going to sit? Sechsam soif, don't worry about it. Everyone's going to sit. Everyone's going to sit. Mu'atamachsik samaruba. Gittin nun zayin. Perky yovis. Hey, hey. You could sit between the two badi aren. We're sitting here right now. We're at the Leila Seder. We're defying logic. It's a mokum of Kedusha. You're mu'atamachsik samaruba. So Chassam Sofer takes it full circle. So he says, this year thinks, Ubash aloy habayis. Misha miyachit beis eloy. He's afraid to invite people into his house. He says, how am I going to give them? Chavnish kamparnusa. I have no space. My dining room table, there's 8 chairs around the table. How am I going to fit 14 people? It's nishayach. The teretz is ainam ben amida mokim kedusha. If your house is a mokim kedusha, you could defy everything. So the Rav spoke out this chassam soifi, took it to the next level. Said it's true in zman. It's true in everything that if a person is willing to give up for kedusha, it's ainam ben amida. There's not you find time for whatever you need to do. There's money for whatever you need. There's space for whatever you need because mokim kedusha ain by doichek. It's Eina Min Amida, that's the message, that's the practical, L'mata Me'asar Tvachim, pun intended, message that you can take away from Levi's Mesoira of Makam Amida, Eina Min Amida. That's the first Ara Rabbi Shu'aba spoke out. The second Ara, he said over a Dover Nifla from the Rogach of a Goyim. The Pasuk says, we're familiar, one of the things that were in the Ara was the Tzantzenes Haman. The Pasuk says, Vayoymer Moshe Lahari, Kach Tzantzenes Achas, take one jug of man, the ten shama meloya oimer man, vanach oisel lefnei Hashem lemeshmeres leirzeichem. So where are you putting it? Hanach oisel lefnei Hashem. It was in the Ar. So one of the things that ledoyrois seichem were in the Arin was the tzantzenes haman, a derogach of a goyin gefrek. And it's in the Tzoftas Panech al HaTorah and Parshas Bezhalach that the Pasuk says several Pesukim earlier. Vayomer Moshe Alem, Moshe told Klal Yisrael, Ish al Yoiser Mimenu Ad Boiker. You're not allowed to leave the mon over until the next morning. Meaning, if mon fell on Monday, you had it in on Monday. You weren't allowed to leave it until Tuesday. There was a Iser Noiser, just like by Kachem, the Karban Pesach. Vayomer Moshe Alem, Ish al Yoiser Mimenu Ad Boiker. But the Rogach of going effect, then how could there have been Sinsenes Haman? L'chura, there's a Loisa say of Ish al Yoiser Mimenu Ad Boiker. At the going gezakt, the teretz is because the makim ha'arin we know was ein ben amida. What's the pshat? The kodesh hakodashim defied the laws of nature. If it defied the laws of nature regarding space, it defied the laws of nature regarding zman as well. There was no zman in the kodesh hakodashim. There was no today. There was no tomorrow. There was no yesterday. There was no next week. There was no last week. It was enem in amida. It was enem in azman. It was lemaylem in azman. So there's no ish al yoytzim imenu ad boiker in the kodesh hakodashim. So that's why there could be a tzantzenes haman. Rechinami, it's not a seidei chalois say. It's not a hutra. You don't have to say that. The Rogach of going gezak. It's a mer pashet. Biker is we live in a world that's governed by nature. There's morning. There's evening. There's today. There's tomorrow. There's yesterday. There's the next day. There's a calendar. There's the lunar calendar. There's the solar calendar. Not in the kodesh hakodashim. Kodesh hakodashim was lamaylam in azman. If it was lamaylam in azman, there's no biker. If there's no biker, then taking the tzantzenes haman and leaving there, l'doyrei seichem, as ish kain stira to al yoyser mimenu ad boiker. I was thinking, I told this to the Rav, that maybe this is a smach to the Vilna Gaon that we've spoken out many times in the daf. It's this week's parsha. Parsha Sachemais begins with the avoida of Yom Kippur. So the special avoida that the Kohen Gadol, not any Kohen, but the Kohen Gadol, had to do on Yom Kippur. And it's yidua from the Vilna Gaon that even though if you ask a child in Cheder, when was the Kohen Gadol allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He would tell you, on Yom Kippur. But the Vilna Gaon had kama v'kama hichachas that it wasn't emes. But the truth is that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wanted. As long as he followed the Seder Avodah of Yom Kippur, he was allowed to enter whenever it was that he wanted to. And the Goyim brought many, many rayas. One raya, as quoted by the Chayi Adam, that he heard from the Vilna Goyim, is that if you look in the parish of Achrimos, it's very different than all the other parishes of Karbonas. Every parish of Karbonas, parishes Pinchas, the Torah will say, "Bayoyim Ashmini, what do you do on the eighth day? What? So you bring this carbon, Koela, right? That every day, what are you supposed to do? So the Torah tells you what you're supposed to do. Achrimos is very, very different. Parashas Achrimos says, "Bezois yovehar lakodesh bepar ben bakar lechatas vayelo oilo ksenis bakodesh yilbash." If you go through these psukim over here, you're going to have a lot of suspense. You're not going to know really when exactly Aharon HaKohen was supposed to do these psukim. You have to wait until pasuk chaf tes vahoysa lechem luchukas oilam bachodesh hashvi. 7th month, Tishrei. Be'esel HaChodesh, on the 10th day. That's Yom Kippur. Ta'anus Nafshei Seichem. That's when you're supposed to go ahead and do all these things. But the Goyim gestelled, why did the Torah wait 29 psukim to tell me when exactly you're supposed to go and observe this Seder Avodah? And Befrat, it's in contrast to the way the Torah always introduces Karbonis. First, we tell us when. Right, that makes sense. So on the first day, Sukkis, this is what you're going to do. On the second day, Sukkis, that's what you're going to do. Well, the Torah doesn't do that. First, the Torah tells you what you're going to do. And then the Torah, oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, FYI, this is what you're supposed to do on Yom Kippur. L'chayru, we should have said, on Yom Kippur, b'zayis yaveh aharon ala kodesh, ha degayim gezak, the pshatz gevaldik. Because this avodah was not exclusive to Yom Kippur. A person could do this, a kohen gadol, on a random Tuesday. It just so happens on Yom Kippur, you had to do it. So on Yom Kippur, says the Torah, because then it's a chiyuv, then it's mandatory. But if you wanted to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on a regular day and you just so happen to be a Kohen Gadol, you can do it. As long as you follow the Seyed Avod. Ramei Simcha says the Goyin only meant the Aharon HaKohen could do it based on his four Parshas Emor. We've spoken out this raid, Kama v'kama v'kama pomim. But I was just thinking one ha'ara. Lefi this Rogach of a Goyin, it could be, it had to be this way. You know why? Because if the Kodesh HaKadoshim is L'mayla min Azman, so really there's no mockum to say that I'm in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but today's Yom Kippur. What do you mean? Today Yom Kippur would mean it's Yud Tishrei on the calendar. There's no Yud Tishrei. There's no Yud Aleph Tishrei. There's no Tes Tishrei. The Rogach of a Goyin said there's no Baiker. There's no Laila. L'dayroisam is all one Zman. Because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is L'mayla min Azman. So how could you tell me that I'm in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and it's not Yom Kippur? There's no Yom Kippur or not Yom Kippur when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's Ma'id Matim, the Chiddush Neira of the Rogach of a Goyin with the Chiddush Neira of the Vilna Goyin. I think they jive together very well. Either way, that's the first Ta'ara. The second Ta'ara is, so we have a Gemara. The Gemara says, whether Kruvim Pnei Mishal Achiv or whether Kruvim Pnei Malabayas. So what does the Gemara say? Oy kash kam bizman she yisrael oisim retzenu shalmakim kam bizman she yisrael ein oisim retzenu shalmakim. When there were oisim retzenu shalmakim, it was pneiem ishalachim. When it was ein oisim retzenu shalmakim, it was pneiem elabayis. Yadua the ritva in the sechtes yuma daf mem dalam adbeis. This is a famous kasha, and it's been said over in the name of many, 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 many people. But what people don't realize, Rishonim's kasha. The ritva brings the kasha, and he brings it from the Rima Gash, the Rambam's Rebbe, the Omer Ish Lakish. Yuma nun dal ramid beis b'shosh nichnusu nachrim lehechal. When the nachrim entered the hechal, ro kruvim hamurin zebezeh. They saw the kruvim were embracing each other. They were embracing each other. It was Zachar and the Kevel. Haitzion l'shuk. So they took the kruvim outside into the shuk. Va'amru, and they said, Yisrael halalu, shebrichasam bracha, v'kilalasam klala. These Jews who have such supernatural abilities, Shem blessed Avram Avinu in the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, shebrichasam bracha, v'kilalasam klala, yasku bedvarim halalu, miyat hizilum. The people started making the Yidin look really, really bad. Hado d'chsiv, Kol mechabdeh his ilua kiro ervasa echa perik alav pasuk ches. What does it mean? They saw ervasa. They saw the erva of the kruvim when they walked in. That they were meurin zebezeh. It's fake the ritva. We just learned the gemara right now. Baba basu salik tesam beis. That bezman shoyser in sonos shalmakim. They were playing mishalach. But when they were in oyser in sonos shalmakim, they were playing malabayis. L'chura zman churban beis hamikdash. Ein l'cha ein oyser in sonos shalmakim. God amizu. Hashem is about to destroy the beis hamikdash. So how you talking that they were pnei mishalachiv and not just pnei mishalachiv? They were even meurin zebezeh. So ritva says a teretz. We won't speak after ritva's teretz because it's getting late early. But I'll tell you two beautiful, beautiful mahalchim amongst the many beautiful mahalchim that were said to answer this kasha. The Bnei Yisoschar in Chodesh Tammuz of Maimer Gimel Aleph brings that he heard that the Talmidim of the Mizritcha Magid asked this kasha to their Rebbe, and he said a Dov Neira. He said, we know that there are three people that have an obligation to be boil a bilas mitzvah. There are three bi'ilas mitzvah. Leil ha-chasana, leil ha-mikvah, and ha-yoytze le-derech tzarech lifkid es ishtay. If somebody goes away, he's traveling, so before he travels, the night before, tzarech lifkid es ishtay. What's the pshat? The pshat is, because absence makes the heart grow fonder. And when a person is going away from someone that he has ahava towards, the ahava that he has is going to become very, very manifest. Later, when somebody dies, a loved one dies. So the gaguim that come out are meridik. He starts feeling things that he never felt while the person was alive. What's the pshat? Because absence makes the heart grow fond. And when there's this preda, when you're going away, it just conjures up a human emotion that the person never even realized existed. People go away for a long period of time. There's always this emotional preda, the koshei lai predaschem. It's because the ahava all comes to the forefront. Because there's an obligation to take advantage of that ahava, that's what the be'ilas mitzvah is. The Neisoscha says that that's the amkus. He says that's the amkus of the idea that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. He says, why was Mashiach born on Tisha B'Av? He says, because when the Eibishter destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael and the Eibishter were about to part ways. The Eibishter was saying goodbye to Klal Yisrael. And he wasn't just saying goodbye for a short amount of time. He wasn't coming back 3 days later. It was going to be a langa, bitter regulus. It was going to be a golus that we're still in today. So it was dafka then, when Hashem is saying his farewell to Klal Yisrael, the ahava that Hashem had towards started oozing. It became uncontrollable. You know what happened during that zman of ahava? Mashiach was born. Because Mashiach is the one that's going to be goyel Klal Yisrael. It was dafka from that ahava that Mashiach was born. The Magid Gezak, that was the yisoid of the Kruvim being Me'urim Zebezeh. Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were a yoytze l'derech. Hashem was sending us off. We were getting onto the train, we're at the railroad, waving goodbye, we're leaving. We're not coming back for a very long time. It brought out this ahava azah. We're a yoytze l'derech. That was the yisoid of the Kruvim. The Kruvim of Me'urim Zebezeh al derech hayoytz l'derech tzarech lifkid es ishtay. Another mahalach, B'chaim Shmulevitz, that's a sicha b'fnei atzmoy. B'chaim Shmulevitz says in Sichas Musar, he says that it's true. B'zman she'ein oisin ritzon yishol mokim, it was p'neim el abayis. But this was a little bit different. The Ein Oysim Ritzonel Shalmakim was something that was warranting Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Churban Beis HaMikdash was going to be Yisurim Noirav. Think the Holocaust. That's something that we can all relate to. It was unbelievable what was about to take place. And it was Pashit. It was Pashit that there were going to be Yidden that were going to go through this experience. And they weren't going to know how to process it. They weren't going to know how to handle it. It was going to be quite the event. The Eibishter wanted to show right at the beginning of the Churban that everything I'm doing from love. I'm not doing this in an angry, malicious way. I'm doing this out of ahava. And the way to show that ahava was that the Kruvim were Me'urim Zebezeh, and the Arelim took the Kruvim, they brought it outside, and Kol Mechabdeh his Yilu Kiro Ervasa. And their intention was to show the Yidden, this is Bechasim Bracha, Kilasim Klala, this is what they're Oisikin. But really, by them taking the Kruvim out and showing it to the Yidden, it was something that infused the Yidden with Ahava. They realized that even though some very unpleasant things were about to take place, but this is all coming out of a place from love. Chaim Shmulevitz has a Shmuz where he talks about this is the way a person's supposed to give Musar. You're not supposed to go over to a person and bop him over the head. It's counterproductive. It's supposed to be done in this way. First, you show the Kruvim that I'm Urim Zebezeh, and afterwards, you give Musar. We once spoke out of Vart that the Eved Knani, or the Eved Ivri, who wants to stay after 6 years, he's not interested in leaving. You take him to the doorpost and you drill his ear. Why do you drill his ear? Oizen sheshamas, the oizen that heard, you now want to be an Eved? So I once heard a kasha, why is the other the one that's doing this? You should find a mashkiach, bring her a yeshiva, let him come in and let him give a musar shmuz. Tell him a sichas musar, a maimer, give him musar, put him in his place. This ear that heard Kibbutz Nei Yisrael avodim, so I heard gevaldik. Because in order to give musar, you want to do it properly, you want it to be effective, you have to show the person you love. If it comes out of a place of love, you have a shot. If it's not coming from a place of love, you have no shot. This Eved Ivri, what did he say? What did he say? He just told us that he loves his Adon. His Adon just got a license. He just got smicha. He's the guy to go ahead and give him Musar. Take this Eved. Who? The Odoi. You said you love me? Good. You trust me, that means I can give you Musa. His Musa Shmuz that he's going to give is going to be more effective than the Musa Shmuz from the Mashkiach of the Rosh Yeshiva, where sometimes you don't know if he does have your best interest in mind. Does he understand you? Does he not understand you? But here, there's a hava. That's more of Chayin Shmulevitz Shmuz over there in the Sichas Musar. Regardless, if somebody owns a bar inside his friend's house, so Reuven owns a house, in the chotzer of the house, there's a bar. And Shimon owns the bar and he has rights to the bar. So, Perka Mechas Abayas, we had halachas. If I keep the bar, do I have to buy back a derech? Do I not have to buy back a derech? Meicher Bayin Yafa Meicher, Bayin Ram Meicher, Machlekes, we're keeping the Chachavan. We're talking about a case where you own the bias and the chotzer, I own the bar. So, Nichnas B'shasha Derech Neyach Nichnasim, Yaitzim B'shasha Derech Neyach Neyaitzim. I can only enter the bar, even though it's mine, and I own the derech, at the time that people, so 9 to 5, when it's usual and customary for people to walk through to a bar, then you can go. You can't walk in the middle of the night to somebody else's chatzar, even though it's your derech and it's your bar. You have to be sensitive to the fact that it's in somebody else's rishus. Additionally, you're not allowed to bring your behemoth inside for your behemoth to drink. But if you want your behemoth to drink from the water that's in the bar, you have to take the bar outside. Additionally, each person gets to have a lock that they can lock the bar to protect one from the other. So the Gemara jumps into that last point. Where's this lock? To the bar. I understand why the balabar would want a lock. He wants a lock to make sure I own a bar in your house. I don't want you, when I'm not there, to go into my bar. So I want to have some sort of password protected bar so that you will never be able to access my bar. But the balabayis, what's his problem? Why does the balabayis need a lock? It's not his bar. So what's the issue? It's because of chshad ishtoi. The balabayis, if he's out of town, won't want the balabar to enter the bar because he doesn't want him to maybe do an avera with his wife. And by the way, the Ritva speaks out, it's us of Yisim, Nekiyim, Hashem, Yisrael. So you have to have this lock. The Balabar wants the lock, so the Balachatzah shouldn't be able to take his water, and the Balachatzah wants the lock, so that when he's not around, and there's an issue of Chshad Ishtoi, the Balabar shouldn't be able to enter the Chatzah. Mishi Yesh Leginuf Nemiginas Shal Chaveiroi. What if one person has a garden inside his friend's garden? So Reuven and Shimon both own gardens. Reuven has this big, huge garden, and within Reuven's garden, there's an inner garden, so to speak, that Shimon owns. Shimon owns a path to get to his garden. There's no issues. The question is he allowed to just come and go whenever he wants? The answer is no. Nichnas b'shasha derech ni'adam nichnasim yoytz b'shasha derech ni'adam yoytz. You can go only when people usually go, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. The inay machnas l'teich at garden. Additionally, if you want to sell something from your garden, you can't bring the merchants, you can't bring all the seichim, you can't have business meetings inside the gino. Rather, you take the seichim outside, and you try to sell it outside. Additionally, just because you own the path and you own the garden doesn't give you a right to use it for other things. So let's say you want to use it as a shortcut to get somewhere else. You can't. You can use the path. It's yours. You can use the garden. It's yours. But only for the garden. But if you want to use it for something else, even something as silly as using it as a shortcut, even that's not good. The one that owns the greater garden, Reuven, he gets to plant on the derech. Nasnu loy derech minatzad. Let's say Bezdin gave Shimon, who has this inner garden, a derech to get his garden from the side. So in this case, he has more kederech hamelech. See kederech hamelech in tomorrow's daf. Here, he has it more, the literal kederech hamelech. He has it on the side. So there, the halach is a little bit different, being that the derech's on the side. Shneim nichnas b'shashu reitza. Number one, nichnas b'shashu reitza v'yaitz b'shashu reitza. He's allowed to come and go whenever he wants. Meaning, if you're going through your friend's garden, then you have to go Monday through Friday, early weekend, 9 to 5. If it's alatzah, then you can come and go as you please. Umachnas l'teich ha-tagarin. You can even bring the tagarin because it's on the side. It's not harming him so badly. V'lo yikonis b'teich l'teich sadacheres. Additionally, however, you're not allowed to use it as a shortcut. Zev v'zeh in risham l'zayra. And in this case, no one's allowed to plant it. Amar Yehuda Mashmul. I'm a beis hashlochem ani meichelach. Reuven tells Shimon, I'm selling you an I'm a beis hashlochem, a canal that's going to water a beis hashlochem. Noisim le beis amis l'teicha. You have to make sure that the amas at least two amas wide. So if Reuven tells Shimon, I'm going to make you an ama beis hashlochin, so there's a minimum shear of how wide this ama has to be. It has to be at least two amas. It's like we had before. If I tell you I'm going to build a house 4x6, 6x8, 10x10, 12x12, this ama, this canal that I'm digging for you that's going to bring water to your house has to be at least two amas wide. Additionally, the ama mikan mikan lagafel. You have to leave over an extra ama on each side of the two amas to make sure that this canal has walls. So we'll see in a moment what that means. Meaning, are you saying you have to give four amas? Then just say four amas. It has to be two amas plus an ama and an ama. So okay, 2 + 1 + 1 = 4. That's not what we're saying. Ama beis akilin ani meichalach. Let's say a person says, I'm giving you a canal, but not to water a field. That would require a big canal. But just you should have water for your animals or to drink. Then noisim le ama achas l'teichet. It only has to be one ama wide. V'chatzi ama mikan, v'chatzi ama mikan. L'agofel. Then it just has to be a half ama on each side. V'oisim agafayim is, okay. Now, it's obvious that the ama on the side or the ama on the side, or the half ama on the side is a little different than the two amas or the one ama. It's like we just said. If really you have to get four amas, you just say you have to get four amas. It's not what you said. I'm building a canal for you. It has to be at least two amas if it's being used for a beis hashlochin with an ama on each side. Obviously, the ama on each side is different. It belongs on some level to the owner. So who gets to sow that area? Rav Yehuda Mashmul Balasad Asayr. The balas, the owner of the field, he's the one that gets to plant it. Rav Nachman Mashmul Balasad Noitam. The owner of the field gets to plant a tree. Same thing, but subtle difference. Zoyram or Noitam. They both agree that who owns that ama on the side? It's the owner of the field. The question is, could he be Zoyreya over there? Or could he be Noitea? Could he put a tree in the ground? Mandam is Zoyram Kolshke Noitam. The one that says he can be Zoyreya, he can certainly be Noitea. Mandam and Noitam. The one that says Noitam, Avo Zoyram Loi. You can't be Zoyreya. Why not? Chilchule Mechalchuli. Because when you're Zoyreya, you weaken the ground. I mean that you're weakening the ground. So it's for that reason, you have to make sure that you're not going to be Zoreya. COVID Shaya. We'll stop here.